to you, Lord, this time of our gathering to you. We come to you knowing that your presence shall be mightily revealed in us as we meditate on the things that you have sent unto us, your word. Let it enter into us and stand erect within us, taking possession of all our faculties, taking possession of all our being, that we might appear also in the finished picture as the Word of God. We long for this and cause yet to be utterance. Let the anointing of your Spirit rest upon your Word, that we might both hear, speak, receive, and become your Word. Not only us, but all to whom you will send this word by a sovereign work of your Spirit, by the working of divine providence in the which this word gets to every corner of the earth. We thank you. We believe you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We come to the final meditation on the topic, the word basis for the triumphant use of the blood. And of course, here we shall be focusing on the use of the blood in battle. Battle where the things being desired is not just things for yourself, your family, the congregation, but where the divine interest in taking that which belongs unto the Father, as it is written, the Lord has taken unto himself his great power and begun to reign. When from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, all land and clime shall revere the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord shall be worshipped. For the knowledge of this glorious King shall cover the earth as waters cover the sea. Irrespective of the installation of the completed kingdom of heaven over the whole earth in what is called the millennial reign of Christ, in these final battles, these battles that are raging, and of course, if for that, for every spiritual battle, we are looking at the word basis for the triumphant use of the blood of Christ. And because of the special nature of it, we have given it another subject head. We have called it the appearance of the word of God in battle. Your appearance in battle. My appearance is that when we go to battle, what should be seen is Christ, the splendor and brilliance of Christ in a multiplied number. Hallelujah. That's why when we come to these issues, we use we in prayer and not I. We come against you. Why? Because the whole army is in possession. You alone may be seen physical, but a host of Christ glory is seen in the battle. You never appear alone. In the kingdom, you are housed. And Christ is that light that houses you. And to the left, to the right, to the front of the back, are persons of the same spiritual persuasion, prospecting for the fullness of the kingdom of heaven over all the earth. So we call the appearance of the word of God in battle. That is what brings the principal victory. Remember, we have three expressions of Satan as he comes forth in the visible world situation, in matters that pertain to his contending with persons who had their history as human persons, now divine, and of his hatred for the rest of mankind who are not yet Christians, we have three pictures of him. One is the dragon, functioning as such in the invisible space of the heaven, with seven heads crowned and seven uncrowned horns. That is the figure he is. Then we come to an earthly representation of him when he finds no more place in heaven. He becomes a beast coming out of the sea of humanity among those among the nations of the world. A sea beast emerges, still having seven heads but no crowns. But the crowns are now on its ten horns. That's the second designation. Then the third is that it is an earth beast coming forth, shaped like a lamb, trying to imitate how Christ walks, with two horns, by the word, by the spirit, we speak and do all our spiritual duties. So he comes pretending to, in his two horns, to also speak as representing Christ. The earth beast has two horns like a lamb, but when he speaks, he tells what power anoints it. He speaks like a dragon. Are you understanding me? So we come and we say, how do we appear in the battle that brings down Satan from the heavens, the dragon from the heavens, and remove crowns off his head? How have we been achieving that? How do we ultimately achieve that? We say it is Revelation 12:11. And Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him, what? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Not unto death, but unto the death. These three components therefore define the spiritual man. The word of God. When the word of God takes prominence upon a man, there is no separation. The life he expresses is that of the world. The appearance of the word of God in spiritual battle is your appearance in spiritual battle, is Christ's appearance in spiritual battle. So it is a truth that is applicable both to the Lord and to the Lord's people. If you understand that, say amen. All right, so that is it. So we want to see the appearance of the word of God, because this tells us it must be like this in spiritual battle. You must stand in this light in spiritual battle and win, because no force can resist you. The dragon, the highest expression of satanic might, is brought down. The lower expression will also succumb to the same power. But how is it? See, we have a tabular representation of both the Lord's people and the Lord himself going to battle. We see it in Revelation 19:11-16. We just read the first four verses. And then in the table, we are mirroring Revelation 12:11 as we read Revelation 19:11-14. I see that the three elements there are the same three elements. When Christ goes to war, there's the three elements. When God goes to war, the three elements must be there. When we go to war, the three elements will be there. Say amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So now we take the reading. For purpose of time, we can quickly take the six verses, 11-16. Thereafter, we'll concern ourselves with verses 11-14. Or better put, we'll read from verse 11-14. Then quickly we'll go to Revelation 12:11, and then we will tabulate the three main elements that constitute the appearance of the word of God in battle, the appearance of the spiritual man in battle, the appearance of the Lord in battle, the appearance of God in battle. God, when God goes to battle, he goes the same way. When Christ goes in battle, he goes the same way. But this final hour, Christ's head and body are in the battle, as set forth in this scripture. So we read Revelation 19:11-14 in the first instance. Go to Revelation 12:11, put it on the board, and we'll read it, and then we begin in a two-color format, tabulate them on the one-to-one correspondence, so that getting this idea And you begin to say, as I go into this battle, am I appearing as I should appear? You don't go to the war careless. No. You go clothed with armor and be battle ready. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we take the reading. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness. Remember, you also are in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. Verse 12. His eyes are as a flame of fire. That's what happens when you have had vital fellowship with God. You come forth as a flaming fire. Why? He maketh his minister's word flames of fire. He is the everlasting fire. Is that not? In the last verse of Hebrews 12, it says, our God is a consuming fire. And Isaiah says, who among you shall dwell with everlasting fire? Fire will dwell with fire. The baptism of fire is included in the outpouring of the Spirit that will begin to prepare us for the final issues of the church age. There is a glorious baptism that is coming. It's of fire. Glory! How I wish we can just peep into it and sing some of his songs. But that must wait for its proper time. Amen? Alright. So his eyes were as flame of fire. That's what happens when you are in vital fellowship. You don't play draft and watch Z-World or magic, is it magic flame of magic world? Okay, African magic. And then your eyes will be flaming with fire. No! I'm not saying you should not have time for pleasure, but the spiritual man lives in the word of God. He lives in the house of God. He lives in the light of God. And the light lives in him. Glory to God. When he goes, he carries heavenly presence. So the eyes are as a flame of fire. And on his head, there are many crowns. He has won all the victories and will win this victory. Each crown, each specific crown, is of the conquest of those who follow him. He has conquered them, and the proof that he has conquered them and transformed them is this crown upon his head. Amen. Hallelujah. We too shall have many crowns. And so win victory upon victory in the name of Jesus. With many crowns, and had his name written that no man knew, but he himself. Glory. People can't understand it. It is always so with divine beings. John 3:8 refers, the wind blows where it listed. And he hear what? The sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So it's everyone that is what? Born of the Spirit. Amen? The next verse, 13. This is very interesting. He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. Glory! He was clothed in an armor dipped in the blood. Glory! He was clothed in an armor plenteously sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Amen. And his name is called what? The Word of God. So the Word of God appears with the vesture deep in his blood. Amen. Flaming fire upon his eyes, and from his mouth, flaming sword. When you speak the word, remember, when Christ is preached, the truth received and responded to ignite the dynamo of the light without and the light within, and something issues forth. Amen? May the Lord bless our understanding. Be strong, people of God. Be strong in the name of Jesus. Be strong in the name of Jesus. All right? And the armies which are in heaven followed him also upon what? White horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. As to their character, but as to their armor, clothed with the same armor of Christ, deep with the blood. when God goes to battle, he dips his garment in blood. And making it to be known that as you see me do, is for your sake. For who can be the enemy of God? And he goes to battle, it is for us. Because it's one entity. We are in him. He is in us. All our springs are in him. It is in him we live and move and have our being. When he goes to war, is representing our interest. And so tells us, this is the manner I'm doing it. You go about it in the same manner. When God goes to manner, he has his wrestles deep with the blood. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Amen. I think we shall rest it here. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. What is that sharp sword? It's Christ revealed to you as he is preached. That truth coming to you ignites. Ignites the light. That is why the new creation realities must be received and responded to. And when we act, speaking from the word of God, in the power of the truth that have been domiciled in us, the truth of our new creation status, what happens is that the dynamite of God goes forth, the missiles of God goes forth to accomplish the purpose. And out of our, his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword. Anyhow, we come to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We see the three elements, and then we quickly go into a table, tabular representation of this truth for our continuing spiritual instruction and example. And we say, amen. We'll see to it. We'll see to it that we don't go into battle carelessly, but always appearing in the manner they that win appear. Amen? Let's read it together. I want to give you the mind. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the dead. They have full faith in the testimony of the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To Peter, Jesus said, drop your fishing net into the water, into the river, for a catch of plenty fish. Say, huh? Where is all life? I'm a fisherman. I was born into it. My father was a fisherman. And you don't catch fish by this time. But I know you are a man of authority. Your word cannot be vain. At thy word, nevertheless, I will what? Let down. Then he came and said, Lord, if it be you, he had known the victory of acting by his word. And so in the turbulence with the stormy sea and Christ walking upon him, he said, if it be you, ask me to come. I don't want to come, but if you speak the word, I can come on the basis of it. He loved not his life unto the dead. The faith of opposition was still there. The storms were still there. But he counted some steps because the word of God kept him afloat. But when he looked to the surroundings and he began to doubt, but wherever he has reached, the arm of the Lord was sufficient to pull him out. So it is with us. We go upon the pure basis of what he said. We care not what holds out. Hallelujah. Abraham said, if I kill this child in obedience to his word, he will raise him up, because he has promised me that in my seed all nations and all families of the earth shall be blessed. He believed he will raise him. Say, and in the figure, he received him out of the dead. That attitude of holding on to God on the pure basis of his word. Glory. Glory. And in the face of many challenges, we say in this nation, we are praising God. And we take charge. We are not fidgeting. The land belongs to the Lord. He will take it. I will just praise him. Great and marvelous are thy works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. For in righteousness is not judged and makes war. Anyhow, so we see the three components. And what are they? One, the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. No, go up. Let's finish that. We'll come back to this quickly. Up to where we are reading. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the Lord not their lives unto the dead. Using these three elements as tools, we want to group the things seen in Revelation 19, 11, 14 to 40 accordingly. So that is the table. And I hope you all can see it. The table. On the left-hand side is Revelation 12, 11 in this two-color format. And on the right-hand side is Revelation 19, 11 to 13. The first important truth is the blood of the Lamb. That is what appears. That is what is visible from a distance. You see a people all red with blood. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. So, in the Revelation 20, the blood of the Lamb. In going to battle, we appear in the armor of God. And we are full of confidence. How? Confidence of the blood of Jesus Christ. The confidence is as the armor dipped in the blood. Do not forget this. You are clothed with the armor, but it is dipped in the blood. It's always a requirement. That is the first point. Say amen. So we go, we pick this. It says, vesture dipped in blood, sprinkled plenteously with the blood. Don't forget it. The vesture dipped in blood proclaims the victory. Hallelujah! Not the blood of valiant that will come upon our garment, figuratively speaking, but we appear with the armor dipped in the blood. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The vesture dipped in the blood proclaims the victory, allows no confusion as to what the result will be. All battles are with confusion. Isaiah 9:5 refers. Say, this is how it is, but this one will be different. When we win, you say, hey, victory. The people other are crying. And when they win, they say, hey, and then these other people are crying. No, this one is with a sure victory. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. That is the first point. In Isaiah 63, 1 to 3, we see God going in the battle. Even with time constraints upon us, we want to read that. Then Isaiah 59, from verse 16, we see God going to the battle. It's the same. Now, it says in verse 21, say, when the enemy shall come in, like a flood, like a mighty torrent, the Lord will lift up a banner. What banner is the blood-stained banner? The blood of Jesus Christ stains the banner. That is the standard. That is the dagel. That is the standard. Hallelujah! That is it. And that is the 3:1-3. You read it. So who is this that cometh? Glory. Anyway, you read it, you find that the whole element. So who is this that cometh from Edom? We dyed garment from Bozrah. This that is glorious in his apparel, his armor, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Hallelujah! When you appear like this, there is strength with you. There is speed with you. Hallelujah! Now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. The strength comes upon us as we celebrate the victory of Christ of the cross of Calvary. Don't forget it. This is that is glory to happen, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in what? Righteousness, the basis for all activity of God and man. Thy throne, O God, is forever, because the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of the kingdom. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Verse 2. Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garment like him that treaded the winepress. Verse 3, he says, I've trodden the winepress alone, And of the people there was none with me. For I will tread there in my anger, and trample there in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. The blood of the garment and the blood of the villain are two distinctions. One, figuratively points to the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's take that out and go back to the table, and then we'll press it to completion. Back to the table. Now we have seen the first. The second in the table is the word of their testimony. Three principles that supply strength for triumphant testimony. We have seen six of them in the last three editions. We don't need to go there. These are stirred up by the Spirit of the living God, who bears witness to the efficacy of the blood of Christ. Then on this other side, the word of God. The white horses are only truth principles. When truth principles are concretely set out in our spirit, it is as though we are riding horses, taking the figure of how the people fought battle in the old. Truth principles concretely received by us are white horses. Amen? The white horses speaks of truth principles that serve as vehicles of travel. The sword proceeding out of his mouth is truth proclaimed in warfare. We've talked about that. When we fellowship with God, we are flaming fire. And what comes out of our mouth is a flaming sword. Finally, they love not their lives unto the death. This implies faithfulness to their consecration vow, a loyalty to God and to Christ. Regardless of the nation of your position, you will never go down when you go on the basis of the word of God. You will never go down. Thank you, Jesus. And on this side, faithful and true when he judges also in his teaching and says, and when he makes war in righteousness, nothing can go wrong. The Lord bless you and cause his face to shine upon you. That's the picture. Read Revelation 11. In all the verses, particularly verse 13, and memorize it. At the first part of verse 16, they give you the threefold picture of what should be where we go to battle. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, yes. And where you appear in battle, you'll never appear alone. For Jesus is said to be the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies. And wherever you are, the army of heaven is with you. See to it that you don't forget it. The Lord bless you, cause his face to shine upon you, and do you good. The Lord cause you to be hungry for his presence. In fellowship with him, not to be able to answer that I've had my devotion today, no, I've read my Bible today. And how many chapters did you read? 20.